how holy he was. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. And I didn't want to turn that gift down. And so I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Praise God. That Sunday school teacher took me up into the preacher's study, showed me from the Word of God, took me down the Romans road, showed me in the Scripture how that I could call on the name of the Lord. And I can testify to you here tonight. He heard and answered my prayer, my friend. He gave me some good things. He forgave my soul. He made me a brand new creature. He put my name in a book of life. He gave me a new family. And I have a home I'm looking forward to. I'm just rejoicing because of God's goodness that he's done for me. I've been blessed, my friend. I just want to encourage y'all. I know some of y'all have been blessed too, but that's why the Corner family is going down to the Dominican Republic, is to share this same Jesus with those people. If y'all want to go ahead and get that video ready to go, what I want you to notice as you watch this is a look at the people's faces. Now, we've gone down there twice. We've had the opportunity to go for 2 different weeks, once with just my wife and I, and God opened the door for us to bring our children. And you watch how they receive the good news of the gospel. They speak Spanish there, so we have to hand out gospel tracts in Spanish. We have to get to preach in Spanish. But you watch how they receive the good news of the gospel. They smile. They're excited. They're grateful for someone to give them the good news. They're a hungry people. So y'all watch that as they play this, please.
The Dominican Republic shares its beautiful island home with the country of Haiti. But beyond its border and geography, the Dominican Republic has little in common with its impoverished neighbor. It boasts a robust economy driven by recent growth in construction, manufacturing, and tourism. With an annual average temperature of 77 degrees, it is the number one tourist destination in the Caribbean. A geographically diverse nation, the Dominican Republic is home to both the Caribbean's tallest mountain peak, Pico Duarte, and the Caribbean's largest lake and point of lowest elevation, Lake Enriquillo. The country is also the site of the first cathedral built in all of the Americas, located in Santo Domingo's colonial zone. But having the first cathedral has not guaranteed a righteous heritage. Roman Catholicism still holds a majority sway in the country, and the cults are making inroads every year. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" To this needy land, Joshua and Hannah Corner and their 4 boys have heard and responded to this call of God. Their desire for missions has been honed in their hearts through ministering to the lost, searching the scriptures, and walking by faith. Joshua was saved out of a broken home at an early age while attending Sunday school. He had the privilege of attending a Christian school, which continued to nurture a desire for gospel ministry in his heart. Opportunities to preach, teach, and minister in his home church have allowed Joshua to seal the call of God to missions. Hannah was saved as a teenager after years of doubt and rebellion. The Holy Spirit used a simple tract to convince Hannah that she needed to have a real relationship with a real Savior. After meeting and marrying Joshua, the Lord confirmed in their hearts a desire for missions. They began to pray for wisdom as to when and where. It was a church mission trip to the Dominican Republic that answered the question of where. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." When the Corners arrived in the Dominican Republic, it did not take them long to see the great need, as well as the great opportunity before them. Street preaching and tract distribution became the most effective means of gospel ministry. The hearts and hands of the Dominicans were very receptive, and the sheer numbers of people encouraged the short-term missionaries. There was also opportunity for open-air evangelistic services, which were well attended. The Corner children also enjoyed being involved in many aspects of mission work. This gave them a great anticipation of someday calling this place home. Behind the veneer of tourism, the Dominican Republic seems like any other third-world country. There are many poor and impoverished Dominicans, but their greatest need continues to be salvation. The Corners rejoiced in the opportunity to give the living bread that would completely satisfy a spiritually hungry people. God used this short-term mission trip to confirm his call to the Corner family. They are following the Lord as he directs them to set their sights on long-term mission work in the Dominican Republic. Their goal is to plant independent, evangelistic New Testament churches in the capital city of Santo Domingo. This will be accomplished through Bible studies, evangelism, bus ministries, and working with national pastors to bring many Dominicans to Jesus Christ. A strong discipleship program will eventually turn each busload of nationals into a new church plant within the city. Repeating this process just a couple miles down the road will result in many churches being established in each suburb of the congested capital. The same could then be accomplished in various regions outside the Santo Domingo area as well. A door has also been opened for Joshua to be the Caribbean director and eventually train other missionaries to do the same church planning, not just in the Dominican Republic, but in other Caribbean countries. The Corner family is sent out by Fellowship Baptist Church of Panama City, Florida, and are serving through Trinity Fundamental Fellowship Ministries International, a ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Ludowice, Georgia.
Hello, I'm Don Markham, pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church of Panama City, Florida. It's with great pleasure that I'm able to recommend Joshua Corner and his family. God has led Joshua and his family to serve the local community here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and they've shown a real love for the Lord and a dedication to reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Would you please consider investing in the Corner's ministry as they seek to reach the people of the Caribbean with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
The Dominican Republic is in many ways a tropical paradise, but behind this facade are a lost people that are hungry for God's word. Joshua and Hannah have seen this firsthand and are answering God's call. Will you pray and support them as they obey the Lord in bringing the life-giving message of the gospel to the Dominican Republic? The Dominican Republic.
I think when you looked in there, you saw some of those folks on motorcycles. You saw some of them in their car windows. Well, they would roll down their windows and they'd reach out and they'd want one of those tracks, those good news gospel tracks, John and Romans. The guys on the motorcycles would slow down. Some of them wouldn't slow down. They'd just reach out and grab them. They're hungry for the Word of God. And then we were walking by this one unfinished building, a cinder block building, and handed out these John and Romans to these men, 20s, and they're 20 years old, right around four or five of those men. And we walked back by when we got finished at the end of that road. And they were reading the John and Romans we just handed them. It happened again in September. We were down by the hotel in the middle of the city there, and people on their lunch break, and we gave them a Gideon's New Testament, gave them a Chick Tract, and walked back by that same place, and they're sitting on the grass there during the lunch hour reading the very Word of God that we handed them. Those folks are hungry for the Word of God. God showed that to my wife and I. What an honor, what a privilege to go and to give these folks the bread of life, to share with them the good news of the gospel. And God made it clear that's where He wanted us to go. And so we're privileged to do that. We're excited to do that. And what are you going to do when you get there to the Dominican Republic? What's the plan? Friends, this is just like what you're doing here. You know, evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. You know, tell them about Jesus. God will save them. God will bring them in. And then baptize them, share with them and how they can be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, get involved in the church. And then what? God starts planting churches. In Santo Domingo, there's 3 million people. And they live close, all right? Some of y'all drive 5-10 miles to church. Well, they don't do that in Dominican Republic. A lot of them don't have transportation. So we could, Lord willing, we could start a church every couple blocks there in Santo Domingo. God could use that. And we're excited to go and share Jesus with them and be able to do the work of the Lord. And we want to go where the Lord leads. We want to do what the Lord shares with us to do. And that we're just sharing that with you this evening. I appreciate y'all being willing to listen to that and hear what God's doing. Let's just go ahead and pray and thank Him for what He's done for us. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank You, God, for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Father, for Your many blessings. Lord, we bless You, God, because You've been so good to us. And Father, how You shared with us the words of life. And God, how You've given to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, You've given us opportunity, Lord, to call upon You. I thank You, Father, for the salvation of my soul. I thank You, Lord, for the hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank You for the forgiveness of sin found in Your Son. Father, we just praise You for Your great love for us. We thank You for Your goodness to us. God, we thank You for the privilege we have tonight to share with these people the burden that You've placed and given to us, Lord, that we might go and be a laborer in the harvest there in the Caribbean. God, I pray that You'd bless these people. Lord, I pray that You'd help each one. Father, if there's one here this evening that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, Father, would You save them before it's everlasting too late? God, would You encourage the saints? Father, would You build up Your disciples in the faith? Lord, would You help us now as we look into Your Word? In Jesus' name, we love You and praise You. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. We just have a few moments, and then we'll look at something, this great salvation. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, and then verse number 4. And then if you keep your finger there, you can look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. That'll be our text for just a few minutes here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. And Hebrews 2, 3. Praise the Lord for His Word. Praise the Lord. I appreciate y'all singing God's praise tonight and how He's answered prayer. We drove over here today and answered prayer. God gave us a van out there, and we're just rejoicing. God just continues to bless us all along the way. And so I'm excited to hear how God's working in your life. That's a blessing and encouragement to us. We did enjoy the hospitality downstairs before the service as well. So we're just so grateful and thankful to the Almighty God for your generosity to us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. We're going to read down through verse number 6, and then we're going to look at Hebrews 2, 3. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, 4, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Now turn over to Hebrews 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We thank You for the blessings in 2 Peter and Hebrews 2. God, would You keep us, Lord, from neglecting this great salvation? And we'll thank You and praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve a great God with great love, with great grace, and great power. And we read in Hebrews 2, 3, how are we going to escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I don't know if you've met the Lord. I don't know if you know the Lord tonight. I don't know if your neighbor and your family knows the Lord tonight. But there's a great salvation that's been offered to you and I in this age of grace. And it's instead of the judgment and the wrath and the wrath that God has, that He gave even to the old world. God gives to those that call upon Him this great salvation. I hope that you don't reject Him. Have you heard of the great prophecy of this great salvation? You knew in the Old Testament, right? We've heard from times of old how there's to be a Savior, a Christ who's to be born, who shall take on the sins of all the world and shall make that great sacrifice for once, for all time, for all man. And He came, and His name is Jesus, and He paid the penalty on the cross. And I know the Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. That prophecy came to pass. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, and He died on the cross and was buried and rose again. That great prophecy was of this great Savior and this great salvation that you and I should not neglect, for there will be no escape for those that neglect that. The Bible says, go to your text there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. Notice the first part of that verse. For if God spared not, He didn't spare these folks. Who? The angels that sinned. He didn't spare them. He cast them away. He cast them aside, cast them down to hell, the Bible says, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. They didn't have opportunity for this great salvation, but were found guilty before a holy God. And so it is with you and I. We're found guilty before a holy God, but He's got a great salvation that He wants to offer. But if we neglect Him, if we neglect His only begotten Son, we'll be like this crowd here that God did not spare, but cast them down. And what's He say in verse number 5 of 2 Peter chapter 2? And spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Now listen, God didn't spare the angels that sinned, and God did not spare the old world. And what are we talking about there? The flood, amen. You can go out west this and you can go up on the mountaintops and you can see the effects and the experiences of the flood and how that flood came upon this world. But that's not all. You can open the very Word of God and see why God sent a flood. It was because of the sinful, wicked men that lived on the earth. And God did not spare the old world. What did He do? What's it say next? But saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Hallelujah. There is a great salvation, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah was saved. He was the eighth person, and why was he saved? Huh? By faith. You can go read about that. He had faith in who? In the prophesied one, the great Messiah that should come and be the Savior. That's why Noah got saved, a preacher of righteousness. But look what God did to those that were in the old world that neglected salvation. What happened to them? Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Oh, my friends, God did not spare the angels that sinned. God did not spare the old world and all the people that neglected that salvation. And what did He do? Verse number 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. I want to encourage you this evening. There's a great salvation, and His name is Jesus Christ, and you don't neglect Him. Oh, my friend, when you hear about this name, when you hear about the good news that Jesus came to save sinners, oh, don't neglect that message. Don't neglect it when God's convicting you of sin and ungodliness and unrighteousness. Oh, no, turn to Him and listen to Him. Look to Him in faith and accept the gift of life that He has for you, because He will not spare on the day of judgment. He will not spare when we stand before Him with our sins. That's clearly made in the Scriptures here in 2 Peter chapter 2. We know what the Bible says in Romans 3, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. But God didn't end there, did He? But the gift of God is eternal life. Huh? We know the judgment day is coming. We know that we're sinful and we're guilty before a holy God. We know that we need a great Savior. So don't neglect to tell your neighbor. Don't neglect to tell your sons, your daughters, your husbands, your wives, your grandparents, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors. Go tell them about this great Savior so that they don't neglect the salvation that's right there among us today in this time. This age of good grace of God. Have you experienced the riches of His grace? Huh? Have you experienced those riches of His mercy? Have you experienced the rich treasure of God's goodness? Huh? Would you go and share that with your neighbor? I want to encourage you to do that, because there's coming a judgment day. Now, there's not only a great salvation we don't need to neglect, but I'd like for you to listen at this, a great voice out of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 3, what's the Bible say? It talks about a great voice out of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And I heard, Revelation 21, 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne, oh, do you see that? There's someone sitting on the throne in heaven. The Lord God, the one that created you and I, He is on the throne in heaven. He is in His holy temple. He looks upon men and He sees the evil and the good, and He tries men's heart. But what's the Bible say? He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In case you're wondering who that is, you can turn back to Revelation 1 and find out that that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Oh, my friend, there's a great free gift, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, isn't this a wonderful picture of being able to be with the Lord God in his throne, in this new place, and all tears and all pain has passed away. But even then, I want you to know what was said next. Look what the Bible says from this great voice out of heaven. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Well, that's not me. I haven't done all those abominable works. What's the Bible say? Whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offendeth in one point, he's guilty of all. So that means what? That means if I tell a lie, I'm just as guilty as what? The abominable, the murderers, the warmongers. I'm just as guilty, black with sin, stained, without any forgiveness until I come to the Savior. But look what happens to these people. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, my friend, I want to encourage you, do not neglect so great salvation. There's a great voice out of heaven telling you and I of this wonderful place where we can be with God and there's no sorrow, there's no sickness, there's no pain. All things are become new. There's a fountain of water of life. But look at those who turned down the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at those who turned away from this great salvation. Look at those who heard when the Spirit was convicting them and they did nothing. That's it. They neglected this great salvation. And just like in the old world when the flood came, and just like God judged the angels that sinned, and just like he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, you and I also will be judged if we're found in our sins before this holy God. And this shall be our judgment, the second death. That's how the picture reads. Oh, do you know about this great Savior? Do you know about him? Oh, I want you to read. Go to John chapter 16, verse number 7. John chapter 16, verse number 7. I hope you didn't neglect the truth. I hope you didn't neglect but the Word of God, but I hope that you're a partaker of this great salvation. Look what the Bible says in John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, my friend. Has the Comforter reproved your heart? Has he tugged on your heartstrings? Has he convicted you before a holy God? Please do not neglect him. Listen to what he's telling you and follow these words of life. How do you get saved, huh? What's the Bible say in Romans 10, 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what John 3, 16 says? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Friends, how do you accept the gift? How do you receive the gift? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you avoid neglecting this great salvation? Oh, you call upon the Lord in obedience to his word. And then you too shall be a partaker of this great salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. God, we're so thankful, God, that you showed us, Lord, the day of judgment before it happened. And God, you've given us a way of escape. Lord, we praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you'd save the lost if there be any here tonight. And God, would you help us, Lord, to go outside these doors and, Father, not neglect to share this great salvation with those around us, our neighbors, our friends, and our family. God, would you go with us, Lord, as we desire to obey you and follow you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We praise you, Father, for answered prayer. God, we give you glory and honor and thanksgiving because you're on the throne in heaven. And Father, we look forward to the wonderful day when we'll be with you there. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.